Welcome to GhostBiz here on the Business Report. I'm Gary Struble. Every week I get a chance to talk to the finance guys to find out what's going on with some of the big tickets, the stocks you may very well be invested in. Ghost, welcome back to the show. Let's start out with Boxer. Big news last year, Pick and Pay, drama, all sorts of things happening, but a split between Pick and Pay and Boxer. But it's easy to forget that Pick and Pay is still the majority shareholder. What is happening there? It looks like some decent news.
Hi, Gary. Hello to all the listeners. Yes, technically, it is easy to forget that Pick and Pay still has a controlling stake there. But I can tell you that anyone who is invested in Pick and Pay is definitely not forgetting that, because the reality right now is that Boxer is basically all the value. So I've seen some charts, some very interesting charts, where if you go and subtract the look-through market cap effectively of Boxer from what Pick and Pay is worth, you actually get to a number that is sometimes even negative, essentially, for the rest of Pick and Pay's business. And that's because at the moment it is still swallowing up cash, whereas obviously Boxer is going from strength to strength. So specifically on Boxer, they did release a trading update for the 17 weeks to the 29th of June. And basically it just looked really good. So they've actually managed to accelerate their performance from the second half of FY25. They achieved overall growth of 12.1%, and then they also managed like-for-like growth of 3.9%. Now, the big gap there between total growth and like-for-like growth obviously reflects the number of new stores that they are rolling out. Boxer is still growing like crazy, so that does help them achieve a high overall growth rate. I think the most interesting thing actually was that food inflation was negative in this period, so that's pretty interesting, because that comes off 3 years of, you know, food inflation being positive, certainly, including FY23, which was a really big number at over 10%, the way Boxer calculates it. So it's harder for a grocery store to grow when inflation is negative, because obviously it means their prices are actually going down on average. So volumes need to make up for that, which they don't always do. I'm certainly happy, though, from my side, to just see some relief for consumers there, because if food is cheaper, then some of that consumer spending can land elsewhere.
Stock we don't often talk about, but is a big deal on the South African investment scene, is Kumba Iron Ore, huge forex earner for the country. They released interim results for the 6 months for June 2025. It looks pretty flat, but many times, especially with these the big mines, the hyper mines and commodity prices, flat is not bad. And of course, Kumba had to deal with a number of different issues, not least of which transport, getting the ore actually to Richards Bay has been the biggest headache. Just give us an update on what's happening at Kumba.
Flat is the word at Kumba, and it's rarely as flat as this, actually. So for the 6 months to June 2025, HEPS was at 22.26 cents. The comparable period, 22.27 cents. Doesn't really get flatter than that, does it? However, what's interesting is if you look at the interim dividend, that was actually 12% lower. So there has been a somewhat sharp drop in their payout ratio. Now, that tells you something about management's conservatism in this environment at the moment. Much as they did actually manage to eke out flat earnings, it wasn't easy at all, because revenue was actually down 4%. So what happened here was they managed to achieve a really good drop in costs at one of their operations. And to give just some context to those cost savings, they managed attributable free cash flow in the period of 7.9 billion rand, cost savings 661 million. So you can see if it wasn't for those savings, it would have significantly impacted the numbers. So, I mean, well done to them. They're obviously doing the best they can in a tough environment. But it does show, as I say, that drop in the payout ratio. You know, things are not easy right now. The share price is down pretty hard over the past year. You know, iron ore, much like coal actually, is a commodity that has been struggling. General geopolitical jitters are not good for commodities like that. And of course, as you correctly referenced there, some of the local infrastructure challenges as well.
Another company that is an interesting one because of the volatility of its production is Sea Harvest. They published trading statements at the end of May and then another one at the end of June. But it looks pretty good, 60% rise in headline earnings per share. Is the fishing a good business to be in at the moment?
So if you can imagine how volatile and scary farming is and agriculture, then the right way to think about fishing is to basically see it as farming and agriculture, but in the sea, which means not only do you have all of the usual issues that Mother Nature can throw at you, but now you have them in the water. And of course, the oceans are a far scarier place than land. Perhaps speaking for myself, you know, maybe not the best swimmer around and not exactly someone who does water sports in the ocean. But certainly it is a risk for fishing companies. It can get quite difficult. And there are a lot of factors, as we see in most of these sort of commodity style companies, because at the end of the day, something like hake would be seen as a commodity. Effectively, it has a global price. It has a global supply. And that supply is impacted by stuff like catch rates. So again, this talks to the unpredictability of the ocean. You can't be sure how much of the stuff you're actually going to catch at any point in time. A lot of it depends on weather, etc. And then the more exotic you get in terms of some of the products that you are actually fishing or doing aquaculture on, the more volatile it can get. So one of the challenges, for example, at the moment is in abalone. We saw that at AVI as well, who own INJ. Abalone is really under pressure at the moment, so that's not working so well. But at least for Sea Harvest, their overall business is doing incredibly well. They've released an updated trading statement that shows expected growth in HEPS of between 88% and 93%. So that's fantastic, obviously. And they've actually done a couple of trading statements dealing with this period, and each one just gets better than the last. So they've given quite a tight range now. So I think investors have some certainty over what's coming. And what's coming is very good. It really helps them. And it also helps Brimstone, because Sea Harvest is Brimstone's, I think it's their second biggest position in their portfolio, or their biggest. It's one of the two. And this certainly is good news for Brimstone as well.
And lastly, guys, it's nice to go fishing around in the Nibbles part of your most excellent newsletter. For those of you interested in stocks and what's going on in the markets, ghostmail.co.za. And there's a number of different newsletters you can subscribe to, Ghostmail being my favorite. And there's a Nibbles section that talks about related party transactions and directors' dealings, etc. I noticed two directors of Renogen have sold shares with more than 6.5 million rand. Renogen, obviously a share price or a share we've spoken about a number of times, and one in which had a huge amount of retail interest. Should we read anything into two directors selling $6.5 million in shares?
Yeah, that was a particularly interesting director dealing. So well spotted. And one of the directors who sold was Stefano Morani, who is the CEO of Renogen. Now, obviously, with the ASP Isotopes deal in the background, this did stick out to me because it kind of talks to, you know, do they believe in the deal? Are they happy with the terms? You can raise a whole lot of questions around this. But the truth of it is, particularly for selling by directors, it might also just be something as simple as, you know, they're looking to take some cash off the table before it all gets tied up in potentially the ASP Isotopes transaction. The old adage in the market is there are many possible reasons why directors would sell shares, but there's only one reason why they would buy shares. So purchases are seen as a very strong signal, and sales, you have to be a little bit more careful, a little bit more nuanced. I will highlight something like Santova, for example, where the sales are actually coming through kind of thick and fast from a couple of the directors. And it's where you see sales over a period of time by several directors, for example. We saw it at Standard Bank earlier this year as well. That's the kind of stuff I pay more attention to.
All right, we'll leave it at that for this week. Thanks, Ghost. Have a great week, and we will chat to you next week here on Ghost Biz. Remember, if you picked up a bit here and you want to listen to the whole segment, you can pick up this particular program as well as the entire business report wherever you pick up your podcasts, Apple, Android, Spotify. Go along, hit subscribe, and make sure that we're always in your feeds. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.